Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's a national championship game, and there's no better person to talk to and preview this than our good buddy Gary Danielson from CBS Sports. Happy New Year. But before we get into the game, a few little things I want to get your opinion on. Number one, as a proud alumnus of the Cleveland Browns, you had to be pretty damn happy watching that last night.
And I watched it, too. And yes, I was. For that fan base, I'm only hoping the Lion fan base gets one soon, you know, or again soon, you know. But yes, and it was one of those, I got to admit, because I followed it for a while and I think I understand the fan base, I was thinking like, oh, 28-0, if this doesn't happen, if this doesn't finish right, this is, what's going to be the name of this comeback or loss? You know, that's what I was thinking most of the time. And you know, so it was a lot of fun. Baker's, by the way, turning himself into a pretty dependable quarterback.
Yeah,
he really is. And I can just imagine how he gets. You know, you know, imagine what he's like 7, 8, 9, 10 years into his career, because he's going to age well. He's going to be able to do what he does for as he gets older, because he doesn't. Although he moves around, he's not, you know, dependent on his legs to be a good quarterback. So it turned out well, I think, for Cleveland.
The other thing I wanted to ask you before the game tonight is, as you know, Michigan has decided to extend with a bizarre contract. You know, he's now middle of the pack in the Big Ten. If they don't get to the, you know, Big Ten championship game, whatever, you know, his incentives, you know, don't
right.
kick in. I thought it was enough. Obviously, Michigan didn't. There was no NFL desire for him. What's your take on what's going on there?
I think it's part of the way you have to structure contracts in college football, because you always have to have one eye on recruiting. You can't let a coach go into his last year, obviously. It'll hurt recruiting down the line. And nowadays, you know, witness Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama. If you skip a year in recruiting, it can set you back 2 or 3 years. I'm really proud of Jim. I think he accepted the challenge. He's a fierce competitor. I think he knew he had to make some kind of a move and say, listen, you know, I love Michigan. I want to prove I can do the job. Give me another year. And I'm willing to work out. I've made a lot of money. I've got enough money, and I want to do this the right way. And if that means swallowing a little pride and competing in the future, I think Jim is doing it the right way. And hopefully they can recruit, turn it around next year a little bit more, take another step forward or take a step forward. I think Michigan should be – I think all sides got what they needed in this. Jim probably has said, if I can't do it next year, I'll walk away and find something else.
So the team that that he will be compared to, the team that all Big Ten teams are going to be compared to, is taking the field tonight against Alabama, and two very high-powered offenses tonight.
Yeah.
How does this sort itself out?
First of all, if I could just take a half step backwards, I just don't know if I love this placement of this game on Monday. I mean, it's mm-hmm. And the NFL isn't changing. I mean, now that they've found out that they could go, you know, six games on Saturday and Sunday in playoff week, you know, wild card weekend, I just don't like the Monday. It has no juice to it at all. Mm-hmm. I think Thursday has been established as a football night around America. I wish this game was a Thursday. Give it at least 2 days or a day and a half of talk radio, because it's basically nothing. It might be something, you know, in the Southeast on talk radio, but for the rest of the country, it's just a yawn. I just don't like where it's placed. That's number one. Number two is, yes, Ohio State is doing what Alabama has done to the SEC. I mean, you know, I've been doing it now 16 years. I think there's been 50 different coaches in the SEC while Nick Saban has been winning and doing his run at Alabama. And, you know, had Urban not resigned, and what Ohio State is doing the same thing to the Big Ten, Clemson's doing the same thing to the ACC, these super teams now, much like AAU football, they're just dominating the landscape of college football, and now two of them will meet. The question I have is, for the most of college football, who are they rooting for in this game?
John just said, especially us here.
Yeah.
I just want to be entertained tonight because I can't stand Ohio State, and I'm kind of sick of Alabama. Because
it seems like it's, you know, two of the most hated teams. And I mean, does anybody root for either one of these teams? You know, around except for their fan bases. You know, which, you know, lends you to believe they're pretty good football teams. So let me get to the game. Yes, I think you're right. I've said all year, I thought there was only three teams that could play with Alabama, and it turned out Florida was the fourth because they could score. And that's really where you get into the game, and to your point, you're going to have to put points on the board in this game. It's like playing the Kansas City Chiefs. You're not going to hold them down. You've got to go into the game scoring points. Same thing with Alabama. The rules are too slanted. Offensive linemen, the way they throw the ball, we are watching it with Baker. And the quarterback's going to hold on to the ball for 2.4 seconds. Pass rush is not going to be a huge part of the football game for either team. So both teams are going to have to, you know, hold serve. I saw Urban use kind of a data point that I've used maybe for the last 10 years. Nowadays, it's about stops. You've got to stop the team. No matter what, you've got to figure out a way to get – it's like breaking serve in tennis, and that's really the name of this game. I mean, one team's going to get six or seven stops, and the other team's going to get four or five stops, and they're going to lose by 10, 14 points. It seems like that's the way these games run.
If Waddle plays, I mean, that's just putting more fuel on that fire, huh?
Right. Well, if Waddle had been healthy the whole year, I you know, this is one of the great team offensive powerhouses you've ever seen. I mean, he was uncoverable. Devontae was uncoverable. Najee Harris coming out of the backfield and what he brings, you know, that would have been impossible for any college team, let alone, you know, those two receivers could line up on most NFL teams and they would be 1-2. So, but Ohio State, as you pointed out, has firepower too, and I was really happy to see them use their tight ends in the last game. I think that's a real key against Alabama. They do not cover the middle of the field great. We saw it against Florida. Their inside linebackers are not good cover guys. You have to have your tight ends and running backs catch passes. Now, Trey Sermon's not a big pass catcher like, you know, I've seen in the past Clyde Edwards-Alaire or Travis Etienne, or, you know, at Florida they used Kadarius Toney in that middle slot position. So that'll be the key, how they match up against Alabama in the middle, because you have to attack the middle of the Alabama football team to be success. They cover the edges in the run game and the pass game pretty well.
And, Gary, I'm glad you brought up that concept of stops because, you know, in the game of football, it's obviously alternating possessions.
Right.
And it is about getting those stops. But when you've got Najee Harris, Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, if he's back, and then you've got linemen like Alex Leatherwood, how does Ohio State come up with stops?
Well, they've got to do it a little bit the way that they, you know, did the last game. Now, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, Trevor Lawrence still threw for over 400, but they clogged the middle a little bit. And if you actually watch Notre Dame after the first about quarter of the half, when Alabama was running the ball well with Najee, it seemed like at will they were able to gain running yards, then they started clogging it up a little bit in the middle. And I really think that's where Ohio State has to attack. You know, you have to attack the middle of the defense, but I think Ohio State has to attack the middle of the Alabama offense. They have to clog the middle with those, you know, stud running linebackers. Their two tackles are really good football players. And if you ever watch Najee, well, I have a lot, play. He was a fantastic football player. People don't even remember, but in the overtime win against Georgia in the national championship game when he was a true freshman, he was on that field for that overtime drive that they ended up winning 2nd and 26, because he had a great game as a true freshman there. In fact, on that play, there were five true freshmen on the field for Alabama in that game, for that 2nd and 26 win. of, I think, what, three of them are, four, three of them are still there. Two are first-round draft picks, obviously. So you've got to stop the run game. And if you watch Najee, he gets very frustrated if he's not a big part of the game. And I think that's where you try to, you have to kind of get Sark looking at personalities on the sideline. You know, Najee starts pouting. He's only got 36 yards. He's not getting the ball enough. That's where you start to, as a play caller, say, I got to get the ball to Najee. And, or, but wait, coach, we can throw on these guys every play, you know, like that. So it becomes one of those games that you have to stop something. And to me, I think you can't let Najee run for 150 yards. You just don't have a chance to win the game.
Is this the game? I mean, you could have said it was maybe the last game where Justin Fields just proves that he's not the same Ohio State quarterback, Haskins, Troy Smith, just Cardale Jones. That he, this dude's different.
Well, he does have the formula that gives Alabama trouble. But just enough mobility that they like to spy a linebacker, which when you spy a safety or a linebacker, that takes one guy out of coverage and one guy out of pass rush. So you're playing basically with 10 guys on the field on defense. So that's part of that formula that works. He's also a veteran player, and he's got a deep arm, you know, and a good deep thrower. The thing about, you know, we've watched him a lot. When Justin gets looking around in the pocket and a bit confused as to who to throw the ball to, you have to start calling him over to the sideline and talk to him because he kind of almost gets down on himself. So I don't think because of his injury you're going to see a Cam Newton or a Deshaun Watson type rushing attack with him. I think he visualizes himself as a passer, and I think probably just the threat of the run is enough to slow down that Alabama pass rush. So I'm really looking forward to the game. Again, they've got enough talent to play with him. The problem with Ohio State is the weakest part of their football team is their secondary, and that's the strength of the Alabama offense.
One final thing before we let you go. Who do you want to see coach the Lions?
I don't know, but I'm really happy that Chris Spielman's in that room. I have to mm-hmm. say that.
All right, that's good.
Yep.
Gary, thanks a lot as always. Enjoy your off season, and we'll speak to you shortly.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate all right,
it.
That's Gary Danielson from CBS Sports, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.